Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
Good morning. Welcome to Pro-Sanctity's Holiness Helpers. My name is Joan Patton, and I'm an apostolic oblate here with you today to look at Pro-Sanctity's formation manual. We are giving by our National Pro-Sanctity Council a formation manual for our members every year to really continue to learn about the spirit of Bishop Jacinta and about our own call to holiness and how we can live that in our daily lives. And so I'm joined with Monica Heichel today, an aspiring apostolic oblate. Hello, thank you for coming. And we are looking at chapter 7 today. So if you have a formation book, we are on page 19. But first, just would like to thank everyone for listening and tuning in this morning. And the Pro-Sanctity Movement is a movement in the Catholic Church dedicated to promoting the universal call to holiness to the entire world, basically.
And every single person.
Yes, because every single person is called to be a saint, and God desires that every single person be a saint. Therefore, we are inserted in the world among daily life, in secular jobs, in schools and churches, in the neighborhood, families, everywhere you can think of, to help people realize that vocation of holiness. And what does a saint look like? How can we be holy? What does a holy person do? These are questions that people ask, and these are questions that Pro-Sanctity tries to respond to in the very practical application of that. That holiness begins with where you're at in your vocation, in your current state, in whatever responsibilities you've been given. At every moment, you're called to respond in holiness. You're called to respond with the love that you've received from God. And it's a great vocation. It would make you, it will make you very happy if you do this. And this is what we're convinced
<That's>
of.
That's true.
And this is why, as apostolic oblates, we dedicate our lives to this. We've been called by God to do this, and we've been called to form others so they can bring that message out there also that, hey, you're called to be holy. And it's going to be the best thing that ever happens to you when you say yes to that. And so that daily ongoing saying yes to being holy and realizing that we're not alone in that response of holiness. And so this is what the Pro-Sanctity Movement is designed for and why it exists in the church. And so we're here today just to look at the formation manual that we've been given that helps us look at doing that, kind of breaks it down a little bit. And so just chapter 7, looking at today's, it says, a saint is a person immersed in the present, but looking toward heaven, which he tries to anticipate here on earth, according to his possibilities, in the time in which he lives. So Monica, what does that look like? A person who is anticipating heaven. In my mind, my first cynical image is someone who doesn't make eye contact at anybody because that he might sin. Maybe just don't talk to him and just keep praying. But no, what does that look like? How can a person being a saint, fully alive and fully human, respond to that?
Well, the church talks about already, not yet. And in a particular way in the liturgy where we do participate in heaven, although we're not there yet, but we really are participating in it here and now. And that's also the way we should be living our lives, that we are here and God is calling us in this particular moment right now to something. And that something is to do his will in this moment in simplicity, in joy, in love. And in so doing, we are anticipating our final goal, that we aren't immersed in the problems of daily life and brought down by that and trying to run our own lives, but we really have a clearer picture of reality that this is not all there is. We have, the earth has been given to us as a gift. Our lives are gifts, but that's not all there is. There's also the unseen world, the spiritual world. God is involved in our lives. He is sustaining us and he is loving us and he's drawing us to himself and letting us receive him. This is a whole journey of receiving him and his love and then responding to that. And so we need to be anticipating heaven by fully living the present moment in his love.
Which seems kind of like a very ironic statement to be anticipating something by being present to this right now, you know, like how does that already not yet work in our lives? Well, the saints are great examples that show us what that looks like. And Bishop De Quinta was convinced of this as well, because when we look at holiness beginning in our daily lives, really, we are practicing what we will be, what we will be in heaven. We will reach that height of sanctity in heaven, because that is who God is, and that's what's going on in heaven. Mm-hmm. Ultimate holiness. And but we get to taste it now, which is really an incredible gift and esteem to our own dignity that we get to participate in that. And Jesus, becoming man, has elevated that human experience, that daily experience, that everything that we do here on earth matters. And that is also incredible and also an important lesson and something that we need to be reminding people as well, that in a relationship with Jesus, everything is important. And the daily grind of my particular vocation actually has great meaning and great power.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in
and
say that we are all participating in his plan. Because if God just created us and then let things roll, then the daily life wouldn't matter so much. But we are living within his plan, and every little piece really does matter because he has allowed us to participate in this plan. He doesn't need us, except that he's made it so that he does need us as his instruments. Mm-hmm. And so it's really embracing this gift that he's given us in history, that we are chosen to be here at this time. It's not just, well, I happen to be born now, so here I am. This is where God has placed me. Mm-hmm. And so we are participating in this great work of salvation for all of humanity.
Right. Nothing is an accident in God's mm-hmm. plan, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. Like, this is God's plan. First of all, we can just stake everything on it because it's good. It's from mm-hmm. God. But he knows the entire plan, and he sees everything at every moment. Saint Bernadette, in one of her beautiful spiritual writings, talked about how Jesus sees everything, every the little hidden thing that I'm doing too, and just how it gives it, again, great meaning. She was telling someone, if you're doing things that, you know, are really important to you, but no one, you're not being thanked for it, and no one seems to care, remember that Jesus sees this and deeply cares and is treasuring and cherishing your actions and your faithfulness. And it gives me great support sometimes when I'm doing little things that I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. Why am I, you know, I'm shoveling snow again or something like that. You know, I don't enjoy doing this. And but actually, Jesus cares about this. And I'm being invited to participate, as you said, in God's plan by simply shoveling snow. I'm being invited to participate in his redemptive plan by shoveling snow, by being faithful to my vocation, by being faithful to the present moment, but also by being faithful to God wants to love me at this moment as I'm shoveling snow. And I can do those two things at once. I can shovel snow and receive God's love at the same time.
Amazing.
And it's glorious. But so Bishop De Quinta, in the formation for the Apostolic Oblates and for the Pro-Sanctity movement, wanted everybody to be aware of what it means to be attentive to the present moment, because being attentive to the present moment helps us be attentive to others, helps us to respond in faithfulness to not only the present moment, but to the plan for our holiness, for our lives, to be saints. He has a plan for your sanctity. Mm-hmm. And it begins at where you're at right now. So it's starting to pay attention to that. And there's a lot of elements that go into that. Yeah, being aware of what you're being asked to do, but being aware of where is God at this present moment, because he's always, always with us.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it, like you're talking about the little things and how sometimes it seems like they don't really, how could this really make a difference mm-hmm. in everything? And yet, if you kind of turn that around and say, well, what more could I be doing other than God's will in this moment? Is there something greater than God's will? But we are tempted to think that, not, you know, consciously usually, just, mm-hmm. but that's kind of a driving thing. Oh, this isn't good enough. I need to be doing greater things. Well, if you are supposed to be doing greater things, then you should be doing them. But usually, even the great things that people do are done by doing the little things. And, but it's to be available to God, who can see everything, has everything in his hands, and is inviting you to participate in that, because we only see this little tiny piece mm-hmm. of history and a little tiny piece of our world. And so what more, yeah, what more could you do than to do what he's asking you to do right now with love?
Yeah, and that's something really good to remember. And also to trust that the Father who makes these plans loves us. So every part of the plan, every step of the plan that we can or cannot see is going to be for my greatest good, for my ultimate happiness, and to be convinced of that, mm-hmm. you know. I'm reminded of a story that Franca Salvo, another apostolic oblate, often tells of Bishop De Cuenta being aware of what it means to be attentive to the present moment and to be faithful to the present moment. There's one thing, we can be attentive to it, but we have to respond also. Respond in faithfulness, respond in love and in generosity. And so she was in Rome and in Italy when they have dinner. It's a big event. And so after they had dinner, they were washing the dishes and cleaning up, and she was trying to fold a tablecloth by herself. It was very big and Franca's short, and I was having a hard time folding this tablecloth neatly. And Bishop De Cuenta was there at this dinner and came over and helped her, and he helped her do it perfectly. And she's just very struck by this story and just by his precision and just his attentiveness to folding this tablecloth well. It was something that needed to be done well. I mean, it's a tablecloth and it was dirty. but and now I can't fold a tablecloth without thinking, oh geez, I need to redo that. Because Bishop De Cuenta would want me to. Jesus wants me to. But it's just something so simple and ordinary, but even that matters.
Mm-hmm. Right. And really in simplicity, to just be available to what God wants and abandon ourselves to his will. Because even so, we can get really worked up and tense about, oh my gosh, the tablecloth isn't folded right.
Yes.
Or, you know, about our own weaknesses and limitations. But we really are called to offer that to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, you're calling me to this job and I'm going to do the best I can. But really, it's all in your hands, because if I focus on what am I going to do with it, you know, I need to make it perfect, then it won't be perfect. We'll be failures, and we aren't following God's will then, even if we aren't following his will with love. We aren't abandoning ourselves to what he has in mind for us, which is this perfect plan of love, as you were saying.
Right, and to look at where that desire for perfection is coming from too. Like, if it's me, I need to make this perfect. That's not why God wants us to do things faithfully. Right. But to do it, to give him glory, and to do it, and to be, like you said, aware of our limitations, but also aware that he can do something with that. Mm-hmm. And for the greater glory of God, do we have limitations?
Right.
So he, all will know that it's God and not me.
It's when I am weak, it's then that I am strong.
Yes. And throughout human history, he does that. And he does marvelous things with our weaknesses.
This is where Saint Therese sneaks in.
Oh, great.
She always sneaks
Therese.
In. I'm in formation with the Apostolic Oblates, and Teresa Monahan is my formation directress. And so I've learned well from her. Saint Therese is one of my favorite favorite friends. And that's because she chose me. And I think she chooses many, many, many people, because she has given this great grace of being friends with everyone, because during her life, she was offering herself continually for others, for us, for me, even though I didn't exist yet. And she not only offered that, but that power that came from her offering then has allowed this message of the little way to spread everywhere. So she wasn't about doing great things, and yet the whole world knows Saint Therese, Saint Therese the Little Flower, mm-hmm. and praise novenas and receives roses. But she was stuck. She chose to be stuck in a cloister and died at the age of 24. She never did anything. And yet the power that was unleashed, this beautiful power through her abandonment to what the Lord wanted from her, and she did it with great love and shows us this little way of how to pay attention to the small things, pay attention to the present, pay attention to what God is calling me to now, and then just abandoning ourselves to Him in simplicity and love and letting Him take us in our weakness and scoop us up and take us to heaven.
Sounds like a great plan. I'm reminded of a story of St. Therese. It's told that a sister there just used to drive St. Therese nuts. It was just a human conflict, you know, nothing on the moral level, but just their personalities clashed. And St. Therese was just annoyed by her just internally and didn't express that, but was also attentive to what was going on inside. We're called to be attentive to the present moment externally, but also internally, what's going on in my heart. And so she was aware that this person just made her sweat and her frustration. And so she actively tried to go against that and to be just extra nice to this person and to be attentive to this person and to pay attention to this person and to, esteem and affirm her at any moment she could. And this sister thought Saint Therese was her best friend, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And went up to St. Therese one time and asked her, what have I done to make you just like me so much? and St. Therese, talks about this experience of, her struggle to love this person the way that Jesus was asking her to. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me stop and pause to look at the saints, because when we meet an attentive person, we notice. And everybody always uses the example of Mother Teresa and John Paul II and mm-hmm. how these great figures of holiness, but also very public figures, very popular figures in the church and in the world, were often surrounded by huge crowds of people, would draw huge crowds of people. But people always spoke about this experience of being the only person in the room with them when they talked to them. They felt like Mother Teresa was just zoning in on her and talking to her and not unaware of everybody else, but so aware of the person she was talking to. And John Paul II in the same way too, who drew millions of people everywhere he went. But for people to walk away with that experience of, the Pope saw me, is really amazing. And that is from God. That's not normal. But that's something we're being called to do and we're mm-hmm. capable of doing with God's grace. But it's a fruit of being attentive to the present moment. And I'm just imagining what it was like. Mother Teresa, she's listening to Jesus as she's being attentive to these people. And I can just imagine her, asking Jesus, tell me about this person. What should I notice? What do you want to show me about this person? Because every single person does reveal God in some way. And to be delighted by that, like, I'm receiving this person and I'm going to learn something about God and He is going to love me through this person. And there's a great gift to be received there. And that is how we should approach everybody. And if everybody did that, imagine this is what the world of saints is going to look like. Mm-hmm. This is what we want to happen in the world. And it begins. Something as ordinary as taking a step back and looking at the early life of St. Therese, and her practice of living in the presence of God, and John Paul II's experiences before he became Pope, and Mother Teresa's adventures before she went to India, and even after that. It happens in normal human experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right. The saints... Sainthood is not beyond our reach.
No.
A lot of times we see the end result and it seems like it. And yet, no, they were ordinary people who were called to be saints, just like all of us in a particular way. And sometimes God lifts someone up to help us grow in our own holiness, such as John Paul II, Mother Teresa, all these saints that we're speaking of. Really, that does help. I mean, knowing John Paul II, our generation, that he was our Pope growing up. And then we got this amazing gift of Pope Benedict to follow up. but what a witness to God's love in the world. I mean, I was fortunate, very blessed to get to see him many times. I never met him personally, but it was like he was looking at me all the time. I mean, he was there for me, even though he didn't know who I was and he didn't even see me most of the time, except in the crowd, but he didn't think of it as a crowd. He thought of it as people, individuals, all there. And I love him, and he helps me love Jesus.
There you go. Yes. So how can we practice that? You know, we have the example of the saints. We are, you know, are being told to pay attention to the present moment, to respond to the present moment. How can we practice that in our daily lives as I go to work and go to school and I'm working with people I like or don't like? Or,
well, I think the primary is prayer. Because if we go out with this project of trying to do it on our own, it won't work. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to abandon ourselves to the Lord's love. And in order to do that, we need to have a relationship going with him, of telling him everything, receiving from him. And so to go through our days having set time for prayer, but then also ask for the grace to remember to talk to him throughout the day. Lord, this person I really have trouble with. Help me to see you in this person. Help me to, you know, convert my heart. And, you know, I do like shoveling snow, but, you know, I don't like shoveling snow. So be with me as I do this. Help me to do it in love. So to be in that constant dialogue with him so that you can do it. Otherwise, we can't. And what's our purpose? Again, it's not to fulfill ourselves so that we can say we did this perfect job and grow in pride or something. It's to participate in his plan of love.
Yes. And so reading the Gospels, because the saints are imitating one person, Jesus. And when we look at the Gospels, Jesus is present to the present moment, very attentive to the present moment. And everything he's doing, he's aware that it's got the Father's plan. And everywhere he goes, every miracle that he performs, everything he says is part of the Father's plan. And he's doing it. And he tells us that too. This is why we know this. We see him doing it, but then he tells us, you know, my food is to do the will of the Father. And the Son only does what he sees the Father doing. So this is what Jesus is doing. And Jesus is still aware of the Father's plan now. And wants us to participate in it, and wants to help us do that, you know, is eager to help us fulfill the Father's plan, to fulfill the Father's will for our own goodness, our own happiness and holiness. So to, again, rely on the grace of God and to strive to follow Jesus. Like, this is what Jesus is doing. This is what, I can do that. Okay, let's do the Father's plan. Okay, where do we start? Starting with your relationship, starting with being attentive to what's in front of you. Don't go looking all over the world to see what you should do next. But God is simple. His plan is simple. It's not complicated. We make things complicated. God's simple. His plan is going to make us happy. These are very, very practical things because he respects our humanity. And he elevates and works with it as well.
He made our humanity. He created us. And that we're redeemed also, and then we are the body of Christ, and so we are called to participate in the Father's will as he did.
Yes. So we ask for that grace to be attentive to the present moment, to have the grace to respond in faithfulness to the Father's plan. And Mother Teresa, I love this quote, said, we're called to be faithful, not successful. So if we think we are responding to the Father's plan and it's not working. I don't see results. To have that trust that really he's just asking for your response. He's just asking for your yes. That's all he needs. He needs our participation. He's going to do it. Because he's God and I'm not. Okay. But to be faithful, not successful. Because if you go in, whatever you're doing, I'm going to be faithful. I can be faithful with God's help. I can be faithful. Then I don't got to worry about the results. God's going to take care of that. So we ask for the grace to be attentive to what we're being asked to do and to respond in faithfulness. And I'm going to pray with a prayer of Bishop De Quinta and asking for his intercession for that grace. Lord, I know you have loved me from eternity. You love and long to make my relationship of love with you stronger and stronger throughout the years. Grant that this knowledge be the light that leads my every step, the norm that guides my every action, and especially the flame that burns in my heart, instilling renewed strength for my journey. We ask Bishop De Quinta to be with us, all those listening and those who are striving to respond with great faithfulness, and those who are struggling. We ask you to intercede for us and to ask the Holy Spirit to pour his grace upon us. Thank you for listening today. If you'd like to learn more about the ProSanctity Movement, I invite you to check out our website. It's www.prosanctity.org. If you'd like a formation booklet, you may contact us at our retreat center in Elkhorn, Nebraska. And that phone number is 402-289-1938. Thank you so much, and God bless.
God bless.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the ProSanctity Movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The ProSanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.